It's good to see everybody this morning. You know, we have a happy thought that we should keep in mind that when we say God is good, that's just not making us saying something. That should mean something to each and every one of us. Because if God had not been good, where would we be? This morning, we want to thank Brother Hall for leading us in those spirited songs. And we want to thank Brother Thompson for that wonderful prayer that he gave on behalf of the church and praises to God, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. The scripture was read for your hearing from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. And before we go any further, let us take a moment out to go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, we are blessed once again because you have allowed us the opportunity to stand before that footstool of thy mighty throne. You have given us an opportunity to call out thy name once again. Father, we are so thankful and we're praying and so happy to be able to pray. Father, we didn't have to be here this morning, but thanks be to you. You left us here and have given us this opportunity. Father, we thank you for the all the people that are here today with us in the audience. We thank you for all of those who are not here, but maybe due to their unforeseen circumstances, they could not be here with us today. Father, we pray that as for those who may still be on their way, that if it be your will, you would give them safe passage. We pray for those that might be traveling, whether by air, land, or sea. Father, we just pray that they did not leave you out of their travels, O Heavenly Father. And we pray that you bring them back to us once again, safe and secure. Father, we pray and for those who are sick and unable once again to be with us. We just thank you and pray for them. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. Father, please give strength to those families as they move on ahead in this life. Father, we pray for the leaders of this congregation. We thank you for them and their families as they make decisions about our running of the church business, O Heavenly Father. We just thank you for them. We pray and thank you for the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray for those who shall come from this point on. We thank you, O Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you for Jesus who went up yonder's hill to mount on yonder's cross, to hang, bleed, and die on our behalf. And we thank you, Father. We just thank you so very much that we have an opportunity to the tree of life. Thank you, Father, for those who are without this morning. And we pray that they may have what it is that they need to offer, to give praises unto thy name and remember thee in their seeking of whatever it is that they are seeking, O Heavenly Father. We thank you, O Lord, for those who are here with us this morning. And we just pray and ask you that we might do justice and give a word of praise unto you in the next few minutes, O Lord. Father, we thank you so much for everything you have done for us and everything you shall continue to do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask it all. Let the church say, amen. This morning, we want to talk about Jesus, of course. Since the beginning of the human race, people have been hurting and crying for someone who knows all about our pain. By the way, the subject is Jesus knows our pain. Our trials and our suffering. We have that someone in Christ Jesus. In verse 21 of our text, we are told that Christ suffered for us. Who then can better know how we feel than someone who has already suffered before us? Someone who understands and someone who has been where we are at and where we need to be at. Let us look today at three aspects of pain: physical, in spiritual, physical, spiritual, and emotion. And Jesus has and understands all of them. First of all, we want to look at how Jesus knows physical pain. When we look back in the Old Testament in prophecy, in Isaiah 53 and 5, Jesus has suffered every kind of pain we can imagine. His body was stricken with pain more than we can ever imagine. In Isaiah 53 and verse number 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. His hands and his feet were nailed to the cross. On his head was placed a crown of thorns, according to Matthew 27 and 29. According to Psalms 22 and 14, his bones were out of joint. He was humiliated even further before his crucifixion because they spit on him. They stripped him of his robe and they cast lots for his garments. He was even made to carry his own cross. But let us take a look at how the medical community would describe the ordeal of his crucifixion. If this were a TV movie or a movie shown in the movie houses, I would probably need to put a warning notice out at this time, saying something to the effect of, due to the graphic nature of the scene. But it's not a movie. It is the truth. His death is and was real. Some years ago, I read a report that stated medically what was happening to Jesus while he was on the cross. Jesus was placed up on the cross. The Roman soldier took heavy wrought iron nails and drove them through his wrist into the wood. Then the cross was then lifted, his left foot pressed against the right foot with his arms extended. A nail was then driven into the arch of each foot. As Jesus pushed himself upward, all his weight is transferred to in his feet on the cross. Perhaps the greatest, the gathered crowd waiting would now understand with clarity when Jesus said in John 12 and verse 32, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Jesus is now hanging on the cross. It is said his arms are now fatigued, before great waves of cramps are sweeping over his muscles. With these cramps come the inability to push himself upward. The pectoral muscles are paralyzed and the intercostal muscles are unable to do their job. The pectoral muscles are the muscles that connect the front walls of the chest with the bones of the upper arm and shoulder. Then the intercostal muscles are unable to do their job as well. Those are a group of 22 pairs of tiny muscles found between the ribs. They play a role in the movement of the chest during breathing. This is just a preview. I'm not going to go into all the gory details, but Christ suffered a lot for us. And so if you ever have pain, trouble, and woes, you need to go to somebody who knows what you're talking about. What they're talking about. This is why the text of 1 Peter 2 and verse number 21 tells us, For even hereunto are ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, according to Isaiah 53 and verse 3. Christ suffered deeply for us, and he knows our pains from his own personal experience here on earth. Jesus knows all about our physical pain, for he has already been there. When you think about it, church, when you examine the matter, whatever pain you're going through, Jesus already has been through it. And we look at, if we looked at the resume of Jesus, we could find many accomplishments listed on his resume. But the greatest to him of all must have been when he suffered on yonder's cross to save the world, that they might live forever with him. Jesus knows spiritual pain. The devil will cause every kind of spiritual pain he possibly can upon us. For he even tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus had been baptized and the Spirit had descended upon him. God had also declared unto him to be his son. Even though we may be a child of God, Satan will still try to tempt us. If he is bold enough to tempt the Son of God, what does he think about us? I'll tell you, nothing, not much. He even took Jesus up to an exceedingly high mountain in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 8, where he tempted him with power. But Jesus told him in verse 10 to be gone and get away from him. Then after Satan left him, the angels came and ministered to him in verse number 11. That same Jesus can get us through our spiritual pain and suffering as well. We should never assume that Satan won't try to tempt us in our spirit. Do you remember in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 31 where Jesus reminded Peter that Satan desired to have him that he may sift you as wheat? But in verse 32, Jesus said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And then when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. We are to strengthen others when we become strong enough to do the same. So we should always have something to do, because there are many folk that need strengthening this morning. We will always have a job as long as we take up the cross and follow Jesus. So we can learn that when we are tempted of Satan, we need to go to the Master in prayer. We can learn that when we are tempted of Satan, not only do we go to the Master in prayer, but we look for our faith and our strength from heaven above. Jesus is a friend who knows all about what we may be going through, but it's always good to call upon him in our times of trouble. And you know, I talk a lot about troubles, because that's the lot of mankind. Man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. So when you think about it, God has already been through so much for us, but he still has the power and the strength to get us through our ordeals. Jesus knows about our emotional pain too. Jesus felt emotions, and he had emotions just as we do. In John chapter 11 and verse number 35, the shortest verse in the Bible says he wept. It tells, but that short verse, that small verse, those two words in John 11 and 35 tells us a lot about Jesus the man. It teaches us that Jesus knew sadness and had compassion, and that it is okay for a man to weep. It let us know that he knew grief. Isn't it a blessing to know that we can have a friend who understands our sorrows as well? Look at the text once again in verse number 21 First Peter chapter 2, and go down to verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. We need to let God know that we are on his side and that we trust in him. You see, everything is in the hands of a just God. We are all in the hands of a just God. We've got to remember that God is able and capable of fulfilling everything that we ever needed, because he sent his son down because he loved us to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. And if God would do that for us, don't we owe him something? We owe him our best. A lot of us like to give our best to the world and then give the rest to the Lord. But we've got it twisted. It should be the other way around. Give our best to the Lord, and whatever is left, then you might want to consider giving it to the world. And I mean the world in general. I don't mean being in a sinful world, although we live in a sinful world. We know that Jesus spent time at Gethsemane. So we know that he knows sorrow, because in Matthew 26 and verse number 38, he said, "My soul," he talked to the disciples, and this was before his crucifixion. He said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." And he asked his father in verse number 39, "If it be possible to remove the cup from him, but not my will, but your will, that it might be done." It's okay if you have grief upon you sometimes, but there's a way to get grief off you if you go to the Lord, and sometimes he will remove whatever you're going through out of your way. It's good to have a friend that understands our sorrow as well. In other words, "Lord, if I don't have to face the cross," this is what Jesus was praying for when he asked him to remove the cup, "if I don't have to face the cross and its suffering that accompany the crucifixion, let me not, if it be your will." To further shows he understands our emotions, he understood the emotions of one of the two thieves on the cross when he granted him to be with him in tonight in paradise in Luke 23. In verse number 43, as I said before, Jesus has a resume that is full of great accomplishments of doing things for others. Physically, though, he suffered. Spiritually, for he was tempted. And he can help us with our emotions as well. But when you go back to the text, in verse number 24, the Bible says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." Ye are healed. Jesus did a lot for us. And he still does a lot for us. When you woke up this morning, I bet the first thing you thought of, "I wonder what time is it?" Because supposedly we got an hour worth of sleep taken away from us. So that meant that we are suffering an hour of loss of sleep for an hour this morning. But I'll tell you something. I slept just the same. When I got up, the first thing I wanted to know was what time it was, just like most of you. And I found out what time it was. And then I went and changed my clocks. No sense in me changing them before I went to sleep, because I still needed to know what time it was when I got up. So God has given us, or man has given us, this new time, daylight savings time, when we get an extra hour to enjoy the outdoors. But if you live in certain neighborhoods, you can't enjoy the outdoors anyway. So be thankful to God that you got an extra hour, and just go on and give it to him. Give it back to him. Just thank him for everything that he has done for you. Thank him for everything that he does for you, and ask him for things new to you to come your way, if you will. Then, when all is said and all is done, we've got an appointment that we must face. And once appointed to man to die, then after death, comes the judgment. How will you stand in the judgment? Will Christ accuse you of doing the right things, or will you accuse you and tell you to leave him because of your iniquities? What better friend can and do we have than one who knows our problems and our troubles, to one who helps us face tomorrow, one in whom we can put our trust? There is no one else or none other than like Jesus. And some of you are going through something in your life right now. Some of you may be going through some ups and downs in your life. But I say turn to Jesus. Some of you may be going through some things that you've never had to face before. One of the things that I found out, and that is, as we get older, we face new challenges each and every day. I found out that things are not the same as they were 25 years ago. I found out that I can't eat like I used to, or at least I'm not supposed to. I found out I can't eat, or I'm not supposed to eat what I used to eat. And then it's always something that's bound to hurt you somewhere. This bone or that bone or this muscle or that muscle is hurting. Well, Jesus went through it all already on the cross. They beat him before they crucified him. Then they crucified him upon the cross. And all of our sins were laid at the foot of the cross. But Jesus suffered for us. So when you're suffering, isn't it nice to know that someone has been there before you have? Isn't it nice to know that someone is able to rid us of all of our troubles, our trials, and our tribulation? That somebody is Jesus Christ. And when you've got a friend like Jesus, you've got it made. If you use him, Jesus has all the resources we can ever need to grant us what we need. He'll supply all of our needs. So when I look at this scripture again and I think about it, what it says here in verse number 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. In other words, Jesus was all right with us. He should be all right with us, church. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges rightfully. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Now we've got something that's said in that verse. We've got to, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. That's telling us how we should live, church. And when I think a little further on, I know that some of us are asking the question probably each and every day of our lives, Lord, what do you have in store for me? Lord, why do we have to suffer so much? And the question becomes, because he suffered. We are not going to get out without suffering. Jesus was persecuted, so shall we be persecuted. Jesus suffered, so shall we suffer. So then, when I consider this whole matter and I think about how good Jesus really is to us, I ask myself the question, Lord, why? I've often said this to the church. I ask the question, why? And the question of why is because God loved us. He loved us, so he gave his only begotten Son. That who shall believe on him should be saved. Now, when you look at it, the cross, the cross. This figure up here on the wall represents the cross of Jesus. It's a symbol of Jesus' cross and that Jesus hung on that cross. He bled and he died on that cross for us, not for him. Not because he had did anything, but because we were going through it. We were suffering. We were out of options. We had no more options. We could not afford to pay the price for ourselves. So God sent his only begotten son down here to pay the price for us. And yet, Jesus, when he went through that sham of a trial that they gave him, he wasn't represented by legal counsel. There was no jury to declare him guilty or innocent. It was a mock trial because it was set up from the beginning. It was a trial that was set to go in only one direction. When we look at today's legal system, Jesus, his sentence would have been commuted because he was found guilty, but he was without representation. All of the facts were not there. Everything that we needed, he needed to provide a defense for himself, he did it for himself. He didn't have a lawyer. He didn't have a judge and a jury. And even the judge, the one whose hands the matter was in, washed his hands of the matter. Pilate said, I wash my hands because this man is innocent blood. But then, if Jesus had not went to the cross, he had to go to the cross because scripture had to be fulfilled. He had to die on yonder's cross because it was prophesied long ago that the cross was the lot of Jesus' life. His life, his short life here on earth. At age 30-something, Jesus went to the cross. His crucifixion was on that cross. His death was on that cross. All of our trials and tribulations, our iniquities, were at the foot of that cross. And yet, today, for some of us, we still don't seem to get it. Now, this place should be filled to the walls. We should have standing room only. But instead of that, we got a very few in comparison to the number of people that need the Lord. When you reach out to someone, you let them to know how good Jesus has been to you. There's nothing wrong with letting them to know that Jesus has been good to you. You ought to be happy and praise the Lord to everybody. You ought to let them know that God has been good to me. And he'll be just as good to you if you just serve and worship him and trust in him. And then, while he was on the cross, some soldiers stuck him in his side, and out of his side came blood and water, the purchase price of the church that we're worshiping in today. And I thank God for the Church of Christ. Now, there was a time, and I've told you before, I wanted no parts of the church. I wouldn't even go toward the church. But now things have changed. And I look forward to meeting you at church each and every Sunday morning. I look forward to meeting with my brothers and my sisters in the Church of Christ. It doesn't bother me, in other words, to say that I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And it shouldn't bother you because Christ died for it. He died for this institution. And when you consider the fact that the church is the only way to get to heaven through Christ Jesus, the church gives directions to heaven. Christ is the vehicle to get it. The church is the vehicle to get us to heaven, and Christ is the way. Now, we don't ask that you come in church and stay all day, because most of you would leave, I'm sure. But we ask that you come in and stay just for a couple of hours. And that's from Sunday school through church service. It's only a couple of hours. So I'm looking to see more of you in Sunday school next Sunday morning. Brother Jackson does a fine job of leading us in our Sunday school class. And with your participation, he would be even better, because it encourages him. And so when we reach out to one another through our connection with Christ, we can let them know how good Christ really is unto us and how good he has been unto us. And so when you consider the matter a bit further, you ask yourself the question, how can I connect up with Christ? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you've already went through those steps, then you need to come ask God to forgive you of whatever is blocking your way this morning. Ask Christ to forgive you, then come forward, ask the church to pray for and with you, that you might grow stronger. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.